All right, good morning to you. Let me take a moment. You guys that are here at 9 o'clock, we don't normally live stream this service, but because of the children's dedication today, we're actually live on Facebook and YouTube at this very moment. So I want to welcome all those folks that might be joining us on there. It's great to have you, and it's nice to see all of you folks here today on this wonderful Mother's Day, okay? Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. You know, I couldn't help but really appreciate the prayer that Arlene shared with us there at the beginning, because Mother's Day is so different for everyone. You know, I would have very happily referred to myself as a mother's boy. Years ago, I loved my mother. Being the youngest of seven children, there was a time in life that it was just her and I. And after all the others were gone, and I had a connection with my mother that you know, I still very much miss today. But you know, I didn't realize until later that when I went away to college. After being just me and Mom for a few years when the others were gone. And when I went away to college, I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, about 125 miles from my home. And there was a man that lived near the campus where I was there, Johnson. And Harold Ray was his name. And he actually served a church in my hometown. And I knew him well. And every weekend, he would say to me, he would say, Johnny, that's what he called me, Johnny, he said, would you like to go home and see your mom? And I remember that first weekend when I went away to college, man, I was having so much fun. I said no, and, you know, I'm going to hang around here and, you know, do this, that, or the other. And I didn't know it, but every week he was going home, and my mother was expecting him to bring me home for a visit. And I didn't come. And I didn't come, and I didn't come, and I didn't come for several weeks in a row. I never went back. And years later, my mother told me how that broke her heart. And you know what? There was no excuse I could give for it, because anything that I would say would minimize, or it would look like that it would minimize how much I cared about her. You know, just yesterday I'm thinking, our kids are very attentive, and I'm sure that they will wish Arlene a very happy Mother's Day, and they'll do something nice for her. But for the life of me, I was fighting the urge yesterday of calling my kids and telling them what they need to do in order to celebrate Mother's Day with their mother. And I didn't do it. I may still do it, but I didn't do it yet. You know what? We don't realize the hurt or even the joy that's around us in celebrating holidays like this. And I'm so glad that here at First Church that we take a moment and we recognize the joy, and we also recognize the pain. We recognize the closeness of so many and the distance of some. And we just ask God in His grace and in His mercy to love and to care about everyone. When my mother passed away, my siblings said to me, they said, John, would you say something at the funeral? I said, I really don't want to do that. You know, it's, you know, oh, you know, you're a pastor, you do this all the time and everything. And they kept on and kept on. And finally I said, okay, I'll do something. And so it came time in the service that I was going to stand up and I was going to say some words about my mother, and done it 1,000 times for other family members. No, maybe not 1,000. A lot of times for other family members. And I stood up and I opened my mouth and I totally went to pieces. Totally went to pieces. Arlene had to get up, and as Aaron held Moses' arms, she held me up as I tried very feebly and unsuccessfully to talk about my mother. So as we go through this holiday, I think it's okay to recognize the joy maybe we have and the joy we can share with others. But keep on the lookout for the hurts and for those folks that are going through a tough time about this holiday. You know, we've been doing this whole thing about people watching, and if you've looked ahead, you'll know that today that we're to talk about Goliath. So I thought about that maybe what we should do is say, let's talk about Goliath and his mom. Have you read the passages that talk about his mom? Oh my goodness. Well, there isn't any. But being a preacher with a great imagination, I can speculate. Okay, and I can imagine. I mean, I can imagine things like, she must have been a big woman. You know? I don't know, you know, how you can get around that. We're going to read here in a minute and you'll just see. But she must have been a big woman. You know, I couldn't help but think about this poor lady when she delivered this kid, you know, because you don't get to that tall and that big and that mammoth without starting out life pretty big anyway. So she must have had a tremendous time of delivery of this child. But I wondered about her, and I wondered about what she thought about her son. Matter of fact, if you look at the scripture, it says about Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse number 3. You can look at it here. It says, the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them, and a champion named Goliath. I wonder if that idea of him being a champion came from his mother. You know, our mothers always think so highly of ourselves. You know, kind of like one of the old boxers years ago, I think it was Dempsey, they asked his wife one time what it was like being married to a boxer. And she said, I'm not married to a boxer. I'm married to a champion. I remember years ago, my home church in Southwest Virginia, when I first started out in ministry, they asked me to come back and be the pastor there. And I thought about it briefly, and I decided not to, because I didn't want to damage what my mother thought about me. Because I know that my mother would be so excited to have me as her pastor, but I was afraid that after about 3 months that she would lead the charge to have me fired. You know, these lofty ideals that we have with people. I'm sure Goliath's mother was partly behind this idea that he was a champion. But then she had to, like the same as a lot of mothers today, her heart had to break when she heard the stories about her son's life and about what he was doing, about all the war and all the killing and all the words and the verbose conversation that he had with the Israelites and everyone around. You know what? I think that when I think about Goliath, and I think about his mother, it causes me to pray for all of our mothers. Because I know, regardless of how close or how distant our relationship is with that lady, I know that she wants the very best for all of us. So let's learn a few things here from Goliath's life, and infer some things even about his relationship with his mom. It says there that he was a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and the iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Now, to understand exactly what this passage is saying, I want to read it to you again out of the Message. Here is the description of Goliath. A giant nearly 10 feet tall stepped out from the Philistine line into the open. Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor, in total weighing 126 pounds. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail. The spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. And his shield bearer walked ahead of him. Have you ever faced anything in life as imposing as this giant? Because you know what? In life today, we all face giants of one sort or another. And what's interesting is that we always have people behind us or around us, people that love us, that are cheering us on. And regardless of what we think of Goliath, it had to be that his mother was his greatest cheerleader. I remember a story that is true about my mother. Years ago, my brother was a much better athlete than I ever was. And when he was in high school, he was 7 years older than me. But so when he was in high school, he was on the football team, and he was a starter, and he played a lot, and he played tight end. And the story is told, and actually I witnessed this myself, that they were playing, and the star of our football team was the quarterback, okay? He was going to go to college on a scholarship, you know, and he was the best one on the team, and he dropped back to pass one play, and he threw the ball to my brother across the middle, but it was way over my brother's head, impossible to catch it. And as the ball landed on the ground incomplete, a man seated in front of my mother jumped to his feet and said, "Who is that? Who is that tight end? Can he catch? Can he jump? Come on, young man, get your act together. Who is that kid?" My mother, single mother, prim and proper, never hardly ever heard her raise her voice in her life. She tapped that man on the shoulder and she said, "That is my son." And he sat down and he never cheered another play the whole game. My mother scared that man to death. The thing about it was, she couldn't scare a church mouse if she wanted to. But you see, that's the way mothers are. You mess with their kids, and you may very well have a fight on your hands. When you read this passage of Scripture, what are the things that you learn about Goliath? Now, we're going to deal with Goliath's death, with David defeating Goliath, in another week. But today, I want to just think about Goliath and his mom and learn a few lessons for us today. Here's the three things. Number one, Goliath had a past. It says that a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath. Think about this. Have you ever heard the old country song that says everybody dies famous in a small town? Right? Gath was a small town. And you can imagine the reputation that this giant had in that small town. But you see, folks, here's the thing. We all have a past. I mean, have you ever really just sat down and thought about not who you are, not where you're going, but just simply ask God, "God, what about my past?" You know, we all have a past that we can be proud of. We all have a past that would embarrass us. We all have a past that is full of trophies that we've won. And we all have a past that have many things that we need to be forgiven for. You see, Goliath here brought a past into this fight. And here's the thing about a past. A past has to be used to prepare us for today and shape us for tomorrow. You know, I think about my own past and being raised by a single mother, you know, without a father in the home, you know, raised with lots of siblings. And when I was younger, I loved the idea of being one in a big family. It was a great blessing. But now I'm finding out as we get older, because I'm the youngest of seven, and now that I get older and two of my siblings have passed away, and I think that when you're a part of a big family and you're young, it's exciting, it's fun. I mean, I'll never forget that day that my sister threw that butcher knife at me. True story. But then as you get older, I think there's a sadness that comes along with it, because all of a sudden you realize that time's coming, time's catching up, you're losing people that you love and you care about. You know, I preached my brother's funeral. I've preached one of my sister's funerals. And as time goes on, I think we don't look back and appreciate enough of who we are and where we come from. You see, Goliath's past led him to his present. And this verse says something about his present. What does it say? It says that he was a champion. Now, I think when you read that word champion in this passage, it's telling you that Goliath had won many battles. Matter of fact, I think that Goliath, it's referred in here, Goliath was undefeated. Goliath came out and said, hey, just send out your best warrior. And they wouldn't do it because they probably knew of all the different people that had been defeated, had been killed, had been vanquished by Goliath. He was a champion. In other words, he grew out of his past into all of his potential. Now, mind you, you know, he was an adversary of God and his army. But in his circle and before his people, he was recognized as a champion. And I think the reason is pretty obvious. You know, we read that when David defeats Goliath, he tries on Saul's armor and he won't wear it because it's too big, it's too heavy, it's too cumbersome. I don't think David could have even gotten out from under the armor of Goliath. I mean, the massive weight, the huge size of what he wore. But you see, that was all part of being a champion. Imagine that. Imagine the weight and all of the armor that he had. You know, a 15-pound tip of his spear, 126 pounds of armor on him, shin guards, a bronze sword, a spear that was like a fence rail. And it says in verse 8 that Goliath stood there and called out the Israelite army. Why bother using your whole army, he said. Am I not a Philistine? Come against me. What can we learn from that? Aside from the idea of making sure that we're on God's side, I think that we can learn that God wants us to be a champion. And then the final thing here that he says to us, and it's so interesting, that he says that his shield bearer went before him. Now here, I have a question about this. Why did he need a shield bearer? I mean, he was covered from head to toe. The weapons that he had were impressive. His size was intimidating. All the other armies and all the other soldiers quaked in his presence. Why does he even need a shield bearer? I think I know why. I think his mother said, "Now, Goliath, don't you go out there and fight anybody without that shield bearer." I think his mother probably inferred that you want to be as prepared as you can be. You see, folks, I think that today, even today, we can learn from people like Goliath. Our past prepares us for our present, but our present is our preparation for our future. And as we stand here today, and as we look back, and as we look at today, and as we look forward, I think the most important thing that we can learn is our future, where we're headed. Goliath had no idea that because he was speaking against the Lord of the Israelites, that his days were numbered. That it didn't matter that David was young. It didn't matter that he was unprotected by armor. It didn't matter that he was such an inexperienced fighter. God was on his side, and God was going to direct that one small stone. It's interesting, and we'll get into this later when we talk about David, but why did he choose five stones? He just needed one. So as we look to our future, let's make sure that we prepare the very best that we can and then trust in God to make it happen. What do you have in your future that you want God to make a reality in your life? You see, folks, our today and all the days that we have is our preparation for eternity. And when we get to the end of our days, I hope that we're prepared to stand before God and hear Him say, "What a good and a faithful servant. You're a champion. You come from a great place in life, a great family in life. And that I am your sword bearer that goes before you." And if we do that and we understand that, I think that we will make not only our mothers proud, but we'll make our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ proud as well. Many years ago, I actually did the numbers on it last night. I was 34 years old when my mother had a doctor's appointment with a brand new specialist that she was going to see. And I made the trip from Pennsylvania down to Virginia to take my mother to this doctor. My mother had significant lung problems, and she was seeing this specialist, lung specialist. And we went, and I took her to the doctor, and her appointment went quite well. After it was over, I said, "Hey, Mom, since we're in Kingsport, Tennessee, I said, how about if I take you to the Piccadilly Cafeteria?" It was her favorite place to eat. So she and I went to the Piccadilly. Her appointment didn't take quite as long as we had thought. And we got there just before they opened for lunch. They were still closed. So we were seated outside, nice, beautiful day, and we were waiting on them to open the doors. And my mother struck up a conversation there with another lady. And they talked for a few moments. This lady was quite elderly. And finally, with me sitting right there, this lady said to my mother, "Is this your husband?" I was 33, 34 years old. She said, "Is this your husband?" And my mother said, "Heavens no, this is my youngest son, John." And we chuckled, and finally the doors opened and that lady walked off and we got our food and we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, my mother started to laugh. And the insult also all of a sudden became a tremendous source of laughter and joy. And as we sat there and talked about, you know, how hard you guys had been on me those first 2 years that I looked that much older, we started to reminisce about the past and about the present and about the future. And my mother said something to me that day I'll never forget. We talked about the past and how at times it had been so difficult. We talked a lot about the present and how blessed we both were. And we talked about the future and how our great hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great conversation to have with anybody. What a tremendous conversation to have with your mother. You know, Goliath had a mom. He had a past. He was a champion. He had a present. He was a warrior. But he did not have what you and I have. Because he was on a collision course because of his disobedience to the God above. So as we look at our past and we're thankful, and as we look at our present and we're faithful, let's look to our future and be so glad that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who's already there preparing us for those wonderful days that are ahead. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful story, wonderful story, tragic story, Lord, in many ways. Because Goliath came from a situation that, while not unlike our own lives, yet, Lord, he got to a point that he thought that everything that he needed to remain a champion was in his strength. And in his size, and in his weapons, and in the intimidation that he could bring to every situation. But Lord, may we know that without the Lord Jesus Christ, that our future is not only dark and not bright, but that, Lord, it is deadly, and it leads to a place of separation. So, Father, I pray that today we could even learn from this giant who had everything that the world thought he needed to rule, but he didn't have the one thing that he needed most. So, Lord, may we desire that one greatest thing, and may we use it, Lord, to honor you, to honor all those around us, and to trust in you, Father, as David did all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.